I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field, but may not be an expert at running a business. Best Network is ideal if you are an expertise-driven solopreneur business owner with many years of experience in your field. If you are a consultant, coach, or professional selling your knowledge and creativity, we're here for you. If you join the Best Network, you'll receive access to the full Smashing the Plateau archive of over 350 episodes, and you'll receive expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping you get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. With teams of like-minded and supportive professionals surrounding you, you'll be perfectly poised to smash the plateau in your business with our membership programs. To learn more about joining the Best Network and how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Nicole Sylvester. Nicole is a spiritual success coach, guiding people inward to discover their power and potential. Overcoming a lifetime of adversity, such as generational abuse and addiction, she's become the messenger for reclaiming self-worth and choosing success. Nicole is a speaker, author, and mother. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Nicole, what is a spiritual success coach?
So I'm a success coach, but we work with spiritual principles, meditation, grounding, and really digging into the mission that you've been called to create and to show up for. So you're leading from success from a compelled place of being pulled versus like, oh my God, I have to wake up and create something, which is a much more powerful place to be.
Yeah. And how did you end up doing this?
I ended up doing this by finding myself in my own personal hell. And I was led to a meditation retreat and learning meditation, and I ended up finding my own calling. So I was never actually like, I want to be a life coach or a success coach. It actually was something I felt called to do, and I kept getting nudged and, you know, messages, intuitive guidance to do it. And I just kept surrendering to all of the places that I, like mentors, teachers, retreats, conferences. And, you know, it just kind of unfolded. I surrendered to it. So here I am, and I'm pretty darn good at it. So it's amazing how life works like that.
Yeah, certainly it's interesting how things unfold. So let's talk about the trigger that kind of got you here. What was your challenge?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, lifetime of abuse in all sorts of different ways. But I grew up in a home where, you know, there was heroin addiction, alcoholism, and domestic violence. And I ended up finding myself in those situations as early as 17. I was in my first abusive relationship. I was also addicted to whatever would numb me and kind of quiet my noise and let me get by day to day. And I continued in more abusive relationships. And finally, at age 24, I found myself with my two-year-old daughter. And I was living in an almost million-dollar house in Vegas that my boyfriend at the time and I had bought with illegal money. We were selling lots of drugs, and the abuse was so violent that at one point I had to go get 10 staples in my head. And it was at that point where I was like, I have to leave. Something, you know, there's something here. I have to get out, which would seem common sense to most people, but not to someone that's been abused your whole life, you know, pain and love together. So I escaped, literally had to drug him to escape him to leave with my daughter. And 6 weeks later, he murdered a woman in my home. And that was the like, holy crap. What are you doing with your life? And I saw all the patterns of like, oh, my mom was like this. Her mom was like this. Her sister was like this. And, you know, I went on this path of healing. But in the path of healing, I didn't plan on being a coach or anything like that. I was actually working in finance. And I went to find meditation to get out of my own suffering, PTSD, anxiety, all those kinds of things. And in that finding healing, what I heard was that I was to help other women. And I didn't expect it to be in success, but what happened, I found really accelerated success in my business. So now I teach that to other people and really how to make space for the breakthroughs.
So your business was in finance, it wasn't coaching?
Yeah, it was. It was in finance. So I had my own practice within a financial institution, New York Life, and I sold life insurance and mutual funds and IRAs and things like that. And then I found myself at a silent meditation retreat. And that's when I had my awakening, where I saw and I heard that I was supposed to help women. And then I just went on a journey. I didn't know what it would look like. I just kept surrendering to, I felt the nudge. I'm sure for the entrepreneurs that are listening, you hear a nudge like, oh, I'm supposed to do this. I should listen to this. I should try that. And I just fell into a deep surrender of like, okay, my life has been hard enough. Let me just stop resisting it. let me start paying attention. So yeah, it's led me to where I am now. Lots of steps in between, but yeah, for the most part.
Nicole, what's the difference between trying something because you think it's an opportunity or you think you should do it versus trying something that you've been resistant to try?
Okay. So there's a level of discernment, right? And if something feels heavy, like an obligation, like I hate this, I don't want to do it, or if it makes you feel like, you know, that there's a really uncomfortable feeling. And again, it just comes down to discernment. You have to kind of practice this yourself. But I can tell when something's an obligation and I feel like I'm doing it to make someone else happy, or like I'm feeling resistant to go to SoulCycle, but I know I need to get up and move my body, you know? So it's like, have you ever had like maybe before you go to a conference? I feel like everyone has this level of excitement and nervousness before you go to like a conference for your business. And you may not want to go, but you know that you've been called because if you go there, you're going to learn at least one thing that's going to shift something for you.
Correct.
So I would say push yourself through that resistance. But there's some things that you may be running up against the wall, feel like you're banging your head against something and it's just not working. But you don't want to let go of it because you think it's the only way. Right. So that's a place where there may be resistance, where it's time to let go of something. But again, it's just developing that sense of connection to self, that intuition, and then also the discernment between worldly obligations and like a call from a deeper place of something you need to do.
And Nicole, talk to me a little bit about what you were doing in your finance business and then how you made that shift to serving women.
Yeah.
Like, what was the first step you took? How long did it take? Did you stop doing the finance business all of a sudden? Was it gradual? Because you know, people do make these shifts, and there may be people listening that realize by hearing your story that they want to make a shift, but there's a difference between making a shift in a sensible way versus perhaps making a shift that is going to be radical and way too risky.
Right. Well, I will put it out there. You guys heard my past, so you understand I have a very high risk tolerance. So I have had a high risk tolerance. I've always been a big leaper, but that's also why I think I get the accelerated results. So not everyone is going to be comfortable being very, you know, uncomfortable. So for me, by the time I went to the retreat where I had the awakening, I had already been kind of like out of the loop with my finance business. I went from the place of winning awards and having all of this recognition and being a high producer in my office to that slowing down. I just didn't feel as connected with it, but I wasn't thinking that I could ever leave it. It was like the only place I knew how to really work. But when I got the call and I felt like I should help women, I didn't know how I would help women. So I just did, if I'm totally honest, my business started to fail. My life insurance business started to fail and I felt frustrated and I judged myself as something wrong with me. Am I just not good enough? Am I not, you know, all those things came up and it was frustrating. And then it finally hit me that I should just make an investment of some sort. And I came across Marie Forleo's B School. I didn't know who she was at the time or what kind of business I was going to have, but intuitively, this was one of those intuitive things. I saw it and I just knew I had to get in it. And at the time I didn't even have a couch. Because of all the transition that was happening in my life, I didn't have a couch. And I told my daughter, who was 10 years old at the time, I said, hey, I'm going to buy this online business school investment. It's $2,000, but we're going to have to wait on a couch for another couple weeks. And she was down with it. We did it. And in that world of online entrepreneurs, it opened me up to ways that people were making money online that I never imagined. Like selling yoga classes and Tai Chi classes and people selling food recipes. And I was just blown away. buy it because it's nothing I ever experienced before. And in that, I saw that I just had to find my way, create the programs, create the offerings. And over the next year, I really shaped my practice. And yeah, and then I had to come out about my story and my truth and why I do what I do.
So, hey, first of all, how long did it take you to kind of get settled with a new core business?
Okay. So to give you an idea, that was March 2015 that I invested in that online program. In October 2015, I started my business. I announced it. I started it. I got my first client not until December 31st of that year. But I'll tell you that next year was hard. I made $12,000. The following year, 2017, I made $204,000. So I accelerated, but I just never stopped producing content and sharing my message and asking for business.
And Nicole, what were some of the tactics that you used throughout what sounds like it was about a 2+ year period?
Yeah.
Between making an initial shift in how you were earning a living versus outcome that was successful enough to sustain what you needed. What were some of the steps that you took during that interim period to make sure that you were able to achieve the kind of targets that you desired?
So I will say that my targets were kind of loose in the beginning. And I was just finding my way. But one thing I knew was that if other people did it, I was going to do it too. But I knew that I had to consistently put out value. And there was a huge shift that happened when I understood I had to just as consistently ask for business. So it was just making sure that I was always putting out some sort of free content, whether it was a masterclass, a challenge, something that would be shareable that other people could share with their friends. And I would ask them to share with their friends. I would also go to as many events as I could. So I went to like 3 Tony Robbins events. I went to like a Thrive conference. That was good. I just was always meeting new people that were investing in themselves. And I don't think if I would not have done that, I don't think I would have had the same results because I put myself in a bigger pond all the time that I was fishing in. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And were there some other elements that were really critical to your success?
Yeah, my spiritual practice. So I always feel like I don't have to depend on what I know. And for some of you that are very spiritual or, you know, believe in a higher power or have already realized that it's not you doing everything, I depend and lean on a higher intelligence. So my belief is every time I feel like I don't know something, I remind myself I do know, because deep down all of us do know. And when I wanted to make a higher income, I would dig into that place of all the places where I thought I wasn't worthy of it. And then I would understand that there's some part of me that does know. And I would sit in silence and ask questions of it. And I would get the answers. As crazy as that may sound to some people that are not doing this practice, but for some people, you'll know that they're like, yeah, I do that too. But I just trust that a part of me has access to the information that I need.
So in addition to the work that you did on yourself to find your new path and to build the business around it, tell us a little bit about the kinds of people you serve. Who's in your target audience?
So my target audience for my mentorship programs, they're women who have had some success. They have some clients, but they feel like they're overworking and they're underpaid. They're still doing programs. They're still reaching out to clients and serving them for hourly sessions or, you know, working to the point where they feel like they have no time to work on themselves or serve themselves. I help people kind of fill that gap because it's really just creating a container of more value and owning that, wow, my life is valuable and that I deserve the best that life has to offer. When we start understanding that, we shift out of people pleasing and we move into I'm going to serve myself and therefore I'm going to express myself to people that really need to hear me. And we show up for our mission in a whole different way. So I'm really just speaking to women who are already leaders, but maybe want to really tap into their next level of leadership and receiving more impact or receiving more income and making more impact.
Mm-hmm. And are your clients primarily entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I would say 90% of them are entrepreneurs. And I don't even open up to private clients as often, but I do a lot of group programs. So in my group programs, we do a lot around money mindset, opening to allow more to receive more, releasing money, shame and guilt. Anything that maybe from the past or maybe you've picked up on a why you can't say, hey, my services are great. My product is great. I deserve to have this exchange.
Right.
So that's a big foundation of the work that I do. And men and women come into those groups.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of businesses are they in?
All sorts of online businesses, from anything from speakers, people that just want to be speakers, and they maybe have an ebook or something like that. Today I was talking to someone, I'm bringing her on. She's a health coach. So she has been teaching nutrition, but now she wants to move into a supporting in a longer term container. A lot of fitness coaches, a lot of life coaches, success coaches, a lot of spiritual entrepreneurs come my way. And I've had copywriters, graphic designers, but I also have attorneys and people in the corporate space. So a pretty wide range.
Yeah. What do you see in common between people who are attorneys or in the corporate space and those that are life coaches? Because I can see that the professions can be quite different, yet there must be some commonality in why they come to you.
So the attorney, like when I think about it, I've had two clients that are in that space, and the reason that they've come to me is for more of a heart opening space. So it's not really like a, hey, I want to be success in terms of money or building my business, but more so I feel kind of stagnant here. Feel like I'm not being fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I want to open up to enjoy more of life and seeing what else is here for me. And whether that's love or whether it's just me opening up to other possibilities within my field. So that has been what I found. But you know, there's coaches that feel the same way. But I find that when coaches come to me, they do have a strong pull to wanting to make more money and reach more people, which an attorney may not have, not at least the ones that have come to me.
Right. And how does recurring revenue play into the mix?
So I am big on multiple streams of income. I actually also have a network marketing team that I just started at the end of last year for Monate, which is an anti-aging luxury hair care. So I have started that just to facilitate that for other people, but I also have digital programs. So I'm big on digital programs, but I would go to say for anyone that's creating a digital program, it doesn't have to be something that's many modules and that takes you a year to build. I have created one of my most popular ones is called Wake Up Your Wealth Consciousness, and it's simple. It has a workbook, and it was a 3-hour live workshop. And now I just sell the live workshop recording with the workbook. And people still buy it. I wake up some mornings and I see that people have bought it and they still are getting results, and it funnels them into buying something else. One of my, you know, $1,000, $2,000 groups or my private coaching. So I would say as soon as you can get those things out, get them out, but know that it doesn't have to be as complicated as you make it out to be.
For people that would benefit by taking a step into the online world, what do you find holds them back?
Oh, visibility fears. The story of I don't do sales. I'm not a salesperson, which I also created the course around that. That's huge. I feel like that's one of the main things that keeps people back from making money. They think that they're not a salesperson. So some people may say, well, I'm better like at my office or whatever. And making an online video, I'm someone that makes Facebook videos almost every day, but I was so scared to make my first Facebook video. I mean, I was like literally heart was racing. My hands were sweaty. I felt so open and vulnerable, but you just got to jump through and you got to start doing it. If you're ready to show up in a big way, it's part of what you got to do. And if you really want to be known in the online space.
Yeah. If you really want to be known in the online space, you need to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it depends. You can decide. I was actually doing a video about this today. You can decide if you want to make $75,000 a year and you want to coach, you know, 10 people a year for 1 year or whatever it is for you, something very small, you can choose that. And that may feel incredible to you. And if it does, there's nothing wrong with that. But I always say you got to be honest about what's emerging through you. Because if you have a deep desire to serve and impact in a big way, to be on stages, to be on lots of podcasts, to write a book and all whatever it is for you, if it's bigger, be honest about it. And then be honest, is my action congruent with my vision? And then you know how to fill in the gap. You join a mastermind, you hire a mentor, go to events, do whatever you have to do, but you have to surrender to what you're being called to do. Otherwise, you suffer.
Absolutely. And Nicole, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
I know a lot of people that you guys may not know, but I will share. I just got back from Lori Harder's Bliss Project event, and she is amazing. I'm just impressed by her level of vulnerability and the way that she's shown up and just keeps kind of taking on a higher level and higher level and sharing with her community what it feels like while she does it. So definitely, if there's any women out there, I would say definitely follow her.
She sounds like a great example.
Yeah.
Nicole, what do we have to look forward to from you in the near future?
So from me, I have my book, it's called O Shift, A Journey from Chaos to Consciousness. It's coming out in mid-May. So I'm looking forward to that coming out. I'm going to go on a book tour, hitting LA, New York, Philly, maybe some other places. But I have a Bali retreat, and then I have a memoir mastermind that's coming out. So my work is really going to be around helping women step into their message and own their mission, like no holding back, full surrender, because people need it. And there's some other things that men can jump into too. I always am doing group programs, but those are the big things that I'm really excited about.
How can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Yeah, so you can head over to my website, NicoleSylvester.com, Nicole with an H. And there's some links on there. Also YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I do Facebook messages all the time, but on my Instagram, there's also a link to all of my programs and everything that's coming up as well.
Sounds great. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing
Absolutely.
The Plateau. My guest today has been spiritual success coach, Nicole Sylvester. Thank you again, Nicole, for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks, David.
I'm David Schreiner Khan. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field, but may not be an expert at running a business. If you're a solopreneur who's an expert in your field, but not necessarily smashing your plateau in business, and you want to ramp your recurring revenue, join our Best Network. Receive expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands on our goal of the show, helping you to get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. To learn more about joining the Best Network, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Join us and smash your plateau.